Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Our show is brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. For more about Happy Valley United and some great upcoming events, just go to happyvalleyunited.com. I'm Jim Galante. With me today, familiar voice, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Football for Happy Valley United, and our guest, a rookie on the show, Jamie Liotta, the Director of Player Engagement Operations and Strategy. Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jim?
Super. It's fantastic to have you on. And you get the same first question that I give everybody. Director, Player Engagement Operations and Strategy. What does that mean?
I'm still trying to figure that out. I'd say it's a little bit of something different every single day, something new. I'm trying to just go all over the place, help everyone wherever they need help at. First off, though, I run all of our email blasts, social media, press releases, things like that. And then I'm the main point of contact for all of our student athletes here. Obviously, Mike focuses on football. And then I help with like operations and stuff on the side as well with Rich. And then I also help Wendy with event planning and registration for events.
So you've got your hand in everything. How long have you been with Happy Valley United now, Jamie?
I started last February, so a little over a year now.
So, and I've asked this of Rich when he was on, Mike, who's the new guy at Happy Valley United for a few months. This, the world of the collective and NIL, it changes so quickly. What's been the biggest change that you've seen, or what changes have you seen just in the year and a half that you've been there?
I think the one big positive change is we're starting to see the Penn State community really buy in. I think when I first got here, a lot of the community, Penn State community fans, even some staffers, stuff like that, they weren't necessarily thrilled with the word NIL, but I think as we've came since I've gotten here, and I know since Rich always talks about it, he was here like a year before I was, we've definitely made a lot of progress. And I think you see a lot of that in all the sports this year. You see all the different sports and the amazing runs they all made. And I think it's bringing together like all of the sports, the whole community. And I think that's a really big positive change that the NIL landscape has brought to Penn State.
I really agree with that. Doing what we do here, Jamie and Mike, we get a lot of response from listeners who are obviously the typical Penn State fans. And it really has changed. You could feel the attitude different. There's not that resentment of it, the fighting it. And I'm wondering, I'll ask you this, Mike. My take on it is, especially when we found out so many of the players were coming back for this upcoming season, when you see Drew Aller, Nicholas Singleton, on and on, the number of players, you get the sense, I got the sense that fans said, oh, okay, this could actually work in our favor here. Is there anything that you've seen just in your short time where the attitude change has come about among Penn State fans?
Yeah, you know, Jim, I've mentioned in the past, I came at a really good time. I'm really lucky because I didn't have to go through all the hurdles Jamie, Rich, and Wendy, and Jen, and some of the people in the past have had to go through to get to where we're at right now. So it's I'm really fortunate to see where it is now. And I hear the horror stories from Jamie and them at the past because it was like a wild, wild west, right? Everybody's just trying to figure out what the heck to do, who's doing what. Hey, let's just get money, money, money. And now everybody has their lanes. Everybody knows what they're doing. But now it's still, we have a lot of work to do as far as the messaging and getting it out to the fans to exactly what HVU does and the memberships and the events and the corporate sponsorships and stuff like that versus, asking donors just for, one-time donations and whatnot. So just having the fans and the support and people understanding exactly what we're doing now. It's just the message that we're continuing to try to put out there so everybody understands exactly what we're doing and continue to feel comfortable with the collective and the NIL space.
And I think a part of it also, Jamie, is this, the activities, the events that are going on now has seemed to create a much more positive response. What do you think?
I 100% agree. So that actually brings me back to when I first got here. When I first started with Happy Valley United, one of the first things I did was build out our charitable organization list that we actually work with, our charitable partner list. So I think just getting the guys out there and getting them to do charities and doing great work within the community, I think that helped vastly the community understand, like, now they can go and help out these charities. Because before, I mean, that wasn't frowned upon. They could do that, but now it's they look to do that as much as possible and look to have a hand in the community. And I think that's really helped a lot. We love working with our charities within the community. And you see Nick Dawkins from football. He has his own foundation now. They're starting his book bag drive. It's his third annual year. So stuff like that, I think, is really, really shining the positive light on NIL.
Another example of that, Jamie, was just recently the visit to the Hershey Hospital. I've seen some great pictures come out of that. Just explain to our listeners how that evolved and what we've been seeing with that event now, which has been going on for a while.
Were you here when they first started that?
No, this was my first year.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not too familiar with that. I know that's a football activity. They've been doing that. I'm not sure exactly how long, but definitely a good amount now. And now it makes it even a bigger deal because, I mean, we allowed us to start a fundraiser to raise money to give the players stuffed animals and onesies to the kids at the children's hospital there. So it's stuff like that that we love to create fundraisers and just to gather a lot of support within the community and give it all back to a good cause.
Yeah, and to add on that, Jim, you know, it's the way that it's evolved when it comes to at least our structure here at Penn State and NIL and the collective and the other sports is like football has always had player engagement, right? They started a while ago. Somebody that came in to help these student athletes with community outreach, the little mom things, you know what I mean, that parents are going to want to take care of. And we have Lauren Gepper here who does that, and Dan Caballa who oversees the player engagement. You're seeing a lot of crossover with what they do and what we do. So Lauren does a fantastic job putting that event together. And then she just incorporates us because it's just a good cause. So let's just partner up, collab, and make it the most as much as we can get out of it. And so there's other events like that. There's a NYC event coming up that we may help work on with them. So there's a lot of crossover with the player engagement in-house.
And, well, let's talk about some of the other events where our listeners could get involved in, be part of. We know coming up shortly is the We Are in Pittsburgh is going to be on Wednesday, just a couple days from today. I know there's also the event at the Shore. Who's the one, Mike or Jamie? Which of you could probably give us more information about those?
Jamie is a pro when it comes to this stuff with Wendy. They're kind of two peas in a pod when it comes to this stuff. And, you know, they work well off each other. And you can see by the feedback that we get when we have these events. But, yeah, Jamie, you can go and talk about We Are Pittsburgh.
We Are Pittsburgh. We're really excited to get that started off. This is going to be, like, our first big official event in Pittsburgh. And I know that's a place that we've wanted to get an event out there for years now. It just didn't work last summer. We're really excited, though. I mean, it is the first event, and we know with every first event, there's going to be learning pains. But we know that Pittsburgh is a hotbed for Penn State fans, and we want to get down there. And, I mean, they've been asking since I started if we were going to do a We Are in Pittsburgh, so we're making that happen this year. So we're really excited, and obviously with the U.S. Open that week and the Carly Short Gala, Brandon Short's foundation for his daughter, later that weekend, we'll also have a presence there, and that's also a great event. So if you're in Pittsburgh, definitely go to that. It's a great cause. And then we are at the Shore. That's by far like our biggest and best event. I'd say last year was unbelievable. Wendy does an incredible job. It's her fourth year doing it now. It's going to be at Union League in outside Avalon. It's incredible. There's like three different parts. I know this year there's going to be an after party at the one nicer bar downtown in Avalon. So that's going to be another great night and great event to just bring the whole Penn State community together. And I know a lot of the football players will be there, Letterman staff. And then we also have like other sports coaches that attend as well.
Well, I think it's nice, Mike, that to hit some of the areas. Sometimes I think in State College, it gets a little bit too much. Okay, this is us. This is Penn State here in State College. No, it's the entire state and even the entire region. And those are the recruiting areas. So those are also where the fan areas are, right, Mike? I mean, we talked about the We Are in Philadelphia. The coaches tied in recruiting with it.
Yeah.
I imagine you could do the same thing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, they're off the road now, so they're all in the office. It's June, so it's not a period when they can go out and visit guys or whatnot. But, you know, being in Pittsburgh, it's a place, like Jamie said, we want to have more of a presence. And bias, you know me, I'm from Youngstown, Ohio, so I want that Northeast region, you know, all those Penn State fans there to also have an opportunity to go to the event. So it's a really cool event, but it's the visibility too, right? Like, so all these fans and high school recruits that maybe not specifically a Penn State fan, well, they're constantly seeing it's consistently out in the state in all these different regions. So it's just almost like brainwashing them, Penn State. And so the more that we can do that, be out and be visible, the better.
Well, it's kind of like what they talk about with politics. All politics is local. It's retail, you know, get out and see the people. So, you know, just in the last couple weeks, months, we've talked about events, Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, there was the baseball game, there was the golf outing, Jersey during the summer for at the Shore, the event in Pittsburgh. You're hitting all those areas, and all those areas, they think of Penn State as the hometown team. So you're going to see, I lived in Philadelphia. You couldn't spit without hitting a Penn State fan. So it's great that you're out there. All right, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk about with Mike and Jamie when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes at Penn State. With me today are our guests, both from Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Football, Jamie Liotta, with a title too long for me to remember. So we'll just say Jamie, Jack of all trades. He helps out everywhere at Happy Valley United. Mike, I'll ask you this, and I know we've talked about this in your various spots on our show, but I think it's worth repeating and talking about, partly because I don't think our listeners fully understand. I don't either. And it's a changing role. Could you just explain the general role of a collective and how it's been changing?
Yeah, you know, just as far as go back to November, you know, there was a pivot where the 501c3s, right, the tax write-offs, That was something that the collectives could have provided in the past, but then they took that ability from collectives to do that. So we had to pivot to more of a membership, sponsorship, and events type of model. And so that's where we're shifting now, is to bring more content, bring more substance to a membership for the Happy Valley United Collective. So it's not just they sign up, they give us donation, they get a tax rise. Now it's they sign up, they're getting a starter package. You're going to get rights, or not rights, but they're going to get opportunities first to purchase something, maybe some merchandise, a Drew Allar jersey or something from the stadium signed. They may have first dibs at that, or they'll have first dibs at some of the events that we have. And then we're going to start doing some recruiting and some stuff that they're going to have first rights to see that stuff. So it's really pivoted just to the membership, driving memberships, content, sponsorships, corporate sponsorships, and I said the events. And then we also are doing a ton of merchandise, which we're kind of stepping up our game there too, which is really cool. If you have not been on the website, there's some really cool gear that we've been putting out lately.
And Jamie, so any of our listeners want to become a member, find out all the information, where do you go to get all of that?
All of that will just be on our website. You'll go to happyvalleyunited.com/fans. And then you can see all of our packages. We have digital bronze, silver, gold, rose, and then our highest tier that we added not too long ago is blue and white. And each one of those fans, each one of those levels, you get more perks as you go up.
Mike, now we have coming up the house settlement, which it just seemed that has dragged on forever. Okay. Waiting for that final approval. I assume it has to happen over the next couple weeks because the thought is that it would take effect July 1st. What effect would the house settlement have on you guys, what you do as a collective, along with recruiting in general?
I think we're on the path right now. If the settlement is, to be honest, like if the settlement doesn't get done by July 1, we're still, I think everybody generally in the country is still going to function with all of these mechanisms and the systems in place right now. They're just going to say, screw it, we got to go ahead and do it. We're too far in the weeds to backpedal and get out of this. So we have to go forward. And that's just not us. That's everybody in the country. But, you know, I think when you look at the collective and you look at the house settlement, it doesn't change what we're doing. It just helps us pivot to that model that I just talked about, the memberships, the events, the corporate sponsorships, the merchandise, stuff like that. So that's not going to change for us. If anything, it'll just ramp up.
And Jamie, the house settlement, of course, the big part to this is that's where the universities themselves can compensate the players directly. What I've heard from some people is the idea, well, if the university is going to be paying the players, what do we need to do? What is the why is the collective still there if you're going to have the university paying the players directly?
Yep. So the reason why we would still be here and why we are going to still be here is the house settlement with revenue sharing that allows teams that don't have a collective or don't want to go over that threshold to be right there and still be competitive. But for the really competitive, really top tier teams that want to go over that threshold of, I forget what exactly the number is. I think it's around 22 million. They're going to need a collective to go out and raise money and raise funds because that won't be through revenue sharing. So that's why Happy Valley United and collectives across the country are going to become very important to team success going forward.
So it could still be the difference maker. Now, Mike, the one thing, and it doesn't get talked a lot about with the house settlement, is that supposedly there's going to be a third party checking on the compensation.
Yep.
That, you know, it can't be simply, hey, I have a boatload of money, so I'm going to provide that boatload of money for Drew Allar just because I want him to come here as the quarterback. What effect is that going to have in funneling or channeling money to any of the athletes in any of the sports?
Yeah, I think it's time will tell, Jim, to be honest. I think there's lawyers. I know there's lawyers out there that already have the paperwork ready and to file lawsuits, right? Because until there is some type of collective bargaining, there's just going to be lawsuits against antitrust laws, right? So it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a tough task because you're talking about one party that's going to have to filter X amount of deals and make sure they're legit, right? But there's going to be so many, and then what's that turnaround going to be like, right? So like, I just don't see it being super clean at the beginning. And then you combo that with, you know, the lawsuits that will definitely be had. But, you know, time will tell. I just don't see a vision. I don't see clearly how it's going to work, to be honest. Until there's a collective bargaining, there's just going to be a bunch of back and forth between lawyers, schools, and kids.
And the NCAA's record in the courtroom is not very good.
No,
have they even won one?
I don't think so. It's just it's a mess. It's going to be interesting to really see where this thing lands in like 5 years. I think there's still a lot of smoke that we got to work through the next 2 years when it comes to that stuff. But yeah, it's really interesting. I just don't see how there is no, so they with this Deloitte, this third party that's going to filter these, like there's no standard, there's no fair market standard, right? So they have no numbers to base off of what fair market is, right? So until time goes on and we do this a bunch and actually have the data, it's I just don't see the it working out without that and time and data.
Yes, it'll be a while for it to clear. And as you said, the collective bargaining, that's what is really needed. God knows how long that would take. All right, let's shift gears a little bit. Last week we got the announcement of some of the scheduled start times, but the most important announcement, Jamie, was this whiteout is going to be against Oregon. It will be a night game. Fans are, I can tell you, just from the reaction I've gotten from listeners, fans are thrilled with it. Fans are thrilled. What's the reaction internally? And just how important is the whiteout when it comes to recruiting?
Oh, it's very, very important when it comes to recruiting. Because, I mean, I know when after being a recruiting intern, when you're down there on the field and you see their faces when the team comes out, it's nothing's like it. I mean, it truly is like its own place. Like I've been to so many different sporting events. Nothing compares to like to the whiteout, especially the whiteout at night against a really good team. So I think that's why having it against Oregon this year at night and hopefully good weather is going to be amazing, not only for recruiting, but for the collective as well. We'll have our whiteout party the night before. I'm sure State College will be packed as it is on every game day weekend. So I'm pumped. I mean, I know we were all hoping for that, and it big noon kickoff finally didn't get one. So we're very excited for it.
See, fans, of course, listening on our podcast radio can't see it. You've got a smile that's going from ear to ear just talking about it. Just because you've been on the sideline from it, right? So what is the noise like for whiteout, like that first drive, you know, like when Michigan ends up having to call a timeout on the first play from scrimmage? What's the sound like when you're on the field for that?
It's unbelievable. I mean, last year I was on the field as well for Happy Valley United, taking pictures for us and getting content during the game. There's honestly nothing like it. Like being in the fans, that's one level, but being on the field when those big plays happen or when the team comes out, you really can't hear the person next to you or you can't even hear yourself think. I remember last year against SMU, that first pick six Dom DeLuca had, that was the loudest I've ever heard that place. And, I mean, that was a whiteout in maybe the coldest game I've ever been at. So imagine that at night in some good weather against a top-ranked team. So
Well, you know, you brought up one of my favorite topics, bringing up the SMU game, because it was a playoff game at home. And there were a lot of people who were worried about the atmosphere, what it was going to be like, because it was so cold out. But I got to tell you, the atmosphere was incredible for tailgating leading up to the game. I'm in the press box, so I'm a little isolated from it, but still, you could just feel the energy the whole day there, Jamie.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's one thing about Penn State is it will get cold, but if there's a good football game being played, they don't care. I mean, I saw people out there with no shirts, or PSU Dylan was wearing his overalls with no shirt on. So, I mean, Penn State fans are like no other. They're amazing. I mean, as you can tell, the whiteout and the fans help so much with everything. So
it really does. It's incredible. I am just, praying for nice weather for it. You combine nice weather, night game, Happy Valley, just the tailgating atmosphere is, I can't imagine it being like that anywhere else. And we're out of time for this segment, but when we come back, I want to tell you guys a story about 2005 game, okay, against Ohio State.
And that was the Tumba Ollie?
Yes, it was. That was the game. I'll tell you my story when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The Collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. The NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. Happy Valley United is the collective for Penn State, serving 31 sports and over 800 student-athletes at Penn State. For more information about Happy Valley United and about some great upcoming events, just go to happyvalleyunited.com. It's quarter number three, and with me today from Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana, Jamie Liotta. And you know what? We were talking about the whiteout and what it means for recruiting. And I mentioned one of the first ones, 2005 was a great one. It was Penn State, Ohio State. And I actually got the opportunity to be in the alumni box. It was one of the boxes that's huge. Everybody's in there. And you guys might be too young to remember the name Fran Fischer, he was the voice of Penn State before Steve Jones. Legendary guy. He was there in the box also. And it was funny. This whole whiteout thing was kind of a new concept at the time. And the talk was ahead of time that Joe Paterno was not going to be using the game as a recruiting tool. We have a big game here. That's what we're going to be focused on. We can't be bothered with recruiting on this day. I happened to sit next to Fran Fischer because I wanted to and wanted to chat with him. Wonderful gentleman, great stories. But I happened to mention to him about Paterno not bringing in recruits for this game because they wanted to focus. He looks at me and he goes, "Are you kidding me? Take a look." And he pointed like a wrong, I don't know if it was along the 25-yard line, 30, whatever. "Take a good look there, Jim, and see the recruits lined up." And they were all there. And it was pretty obvious. Joe was, well, maybe misdirecting us or misleading us a bit. He was smart enough to use it as a recruiting tool. That was 20 years ago. We still get that. And what's amazing to me, guys, and I'll talk to you, Mike, about it, because you've been involved directly in the recruiting aspect for multiple schools in your career. But it just seems like every player when he commits, it seems he'll make a reference to being there for the whiteout game and how much that meant to him. And I think even helping him in his decision of what school to go to, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. I remember my first stint here when it came to recruiting in the whiteout game specifically. You try to stay away from doing official visits at that time. You try staying away from doing them in season, right? You just don't have enough time. Coaches are busy with players and in the game and everything around it. So you try to avoid that. But for this game specifically, if there's a kid that, especially that was kind of far, that was kind of out of the region or whatever, you wanted to bring him in here. This is the game that you wanted to bring him in if we were going to do it. I remember my first one was 2015. It was a day game against Michigan, and it was Harbaugh, and it was bad. It was just not the first one you wanted to be. Then the next year, 2016, was the night game that we beat Ohio State with the block kick, Marcus Allen, Grant Haley taking it back. That was the most amazing game that I've been part of, because we had a huge recruiting visit. I mean, that was a class. I think that game and that season really helped kind of project our recruiting that year. And then we just kept taking off. That was the year that, I mean, I remember we had Micah in the stands. We had Pat, all those guys are out there. And at the end of the game, you usually take them into the conference room to meet up with the coaches before they go. This time, everybody's on the field. And I look at Andy Frank, I don't know what the hell to do. So I go out in the field. But it was when you're in part of those, like, those field storms, you can get kind of scary because it gets so packed. And it's almost like a wave. You can't really control yourself. But, yeah, that game – was awesome. And then the following year was 2017. That was the year that we just absolutely put it on Michigan, that night game. That was so loud, that game. So loud. But, yeah, my experiences at the whiteout have been awesome. And they've been awesome for recruiting.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, Mike, I was on the field after that game too. So I went with my family. And my dad's had the season tickets for like 40 years now. But We were like right next to the family section. In the second we got that sack and the game was over, I hopped right over the fence. So I was right in there. I remember high fiving Juwan Johnson, things like that. Yeah, no, it was great. That was like one of the best sporting moments of my life for sure.
See, that's what's fascinating to me, hearing the two of you, and I mentioned earlier Jamie's smile. By the way, Mike had a similar smile telling the story. And Penn State fans, I will run into it, and I think you said it off the air, Mike, when I between segments, I mentioned, you know, that I was going to bring up the 2005 game, and you just said that's the Tom Bahali game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the interesting point. There's like this shared experience, and you just have to say, you know, Tom Bahali or Marcus Allen, or you just mention a name and people will respond with the moment. I run into fans now, unlike you guys, I'm an old man, so I go back years and years. I will bump into other older Penn State fans. And you mentioned, Jamie, like SMU was the coldest game you've ever been to. I'll start talking to people and I'll say, do you remember the Notre Dame game with the freezing? And I can't even finish the sentence, freezing rain. And the fans will go, yep, I was there. It's the coldest I've ever been in my life. It was just pouring down freezing rain, but we were kicking their ass. So we weren't going anywhere. We were staying till the end. And that's the shared experience. And I'm sure there's other schools who have their game, their moment. But, you know, at Penn State, for Penn Staters, those are the shared moments, Mike. Those are the shared memories. And I suspect, you know, a whiteout against a team like Oregon, you know, there's going to be moments like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've had the opportunity to go, like you mentioned, to some other schools after that 17 season and kind of experience some other atmospheres. And, you know, going into some of those opportunities, the people that are already there would, you know, brag on their game, whatever that is, you know. And I just every game or any away game that I've ever been to, SEC, Big Ten, whatever, it just never compared to the whiteout. It just never compared. I remember my first year at Mississippi State, we had a really good defense, really good team, and we're playing LSU at night. And all you hear about is LSU, right? LSU yeah. night game, LSU night game. I was like, to me, and I had that 2016 experience, didn't compare. You know, it's a really cool looking stadium, but the entirety of everything, nothing compared to that 2016 whiteout or any kind of whiteout that's at night.
Well, that's the thing. And it almost like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy now. It's like the students know they're called the greatest show in college football. So they have to live up to that standard, and they just get the rest of the crowd going with them. So a whiteout is almost like guaranteed to be that kind of event with that kind of noise. And it was that going back to that 2005 game, that was the first time I mentioned, you know, being in the suites moving, the stadium yeah. moving,
yeah,
you know, and it actually that got you mentioned being on the field and that being a little bit scary. Well, being up there and having the building swaying. Yeah, that's a little bit scary also, Mike.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, it's an interesting thing, though, with the mics now, the headsets in the helmets. I wonder how that will affect it and if that will help them or it will make it worse, depending, like, on the clarity of it and the connection of it. I wonder how that could help, if it does help at all. But that, yeah.
I'm thinking it's not going to help a lot. Wasn't it in the SMU game? Didn't the quarterback struggle a bit, guys? You know, really hearing, watching yeah. him put his hands over his ears, hoping yeah. to hear better, Jamie? Do you recall?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you can try and replicate the noise and how loud it is down there, but you honestly really can't until you're in that moment. So I think you see that a lot with quarterbacks. I mean, they will spend the whole entire week preparing for how loud it's going to be, and they still have trouble. I remember I saw reports of, like, SMU. They're doing all their stuff at, like, 6 a.m. in the cold or whatever, and it was, like, 60 degrees still down there. Little did they know it was going to be the coldest it's ever been at Penn State in years. But that, and then also, I mean – You can play it on the speakers as loud as you want. Like, I've heard the team do it in Huluba, and I mean it gets loud, but it doesn't get nearly as loud as it does in Beaver Stadium.
And I've not been on the field for a whiteout game, but I was on the field for another game at one point. I just remember the sound was different. It was like it envelops you, and I don't know if it's just the acoustics for this stadium specifically, but standing on the field, be surrounded by the noise, it's like, Mike, it feels like it's inside your head, not outside your head, if that yeah. makes any sense.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I think it's just because of the way that Beaver Stadium is set up, right? And what I've heard is after all these renovations are done, it's actually going to make it even louder, which, I mean, try to imagine that. I don't know. That sounds dangerous. But, yeah, but it's going to be interesting once those renovations get completed and we have our first whiteout in there.
Well, it will be, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's one of the things when the whole conversation was going on about the renovation to the stadium, and even at the time it was possible that they were going to build a new stadium. I said, if you ever built a new stadium, you better bring in an acoustics expert, Jamie, who could make sure the noise is replicated.
Oh my gosh, 100%, 100%. I think that's what they're doing with these renovations. I think they're keeping, like, kind of the foundation, which is different from other colleges. But then they're also making it more up, kind of like Lincoln Financial Field, like the Eagles. And obviously, I mean, we have more seats than the Link, so you can just imagine how loud it's going to get.
Well, see, I'm getting all excited just talking about it. All right, guys, that is going to be it for quarter number three. When we come back, quarter number four, we're going to talk some recruiting, because this is right in the middle of the time when the recruits are coming in. A week and a half ago, we had all the committed players came in. this past weekend, another big weekend, a lot of really good players coming in. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Mike about a couple of those players. You want to stay tuned for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Mike Villagrana, Jamie Loda from Happy Valley United. Our show, just by coincidence, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective serving 31 sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. For more about Happy Valley United and some of the great upcoming events, you can check in with happyvalleyunited.com. Before we get into some conversation about the recruits, just wanted to ask you, Jamie, we often talk, we're mostly a football show, so that's what we talk about. But when we talk about Happy Valley United, the collective, we're not just talking about football, are we?
No, we're talking about every sport here. I work with every single sport here at Penn State, and I love doing it. All the sports are great. I think you saw this past year how all the sports went on a great run. I love working with wrestling. Obviously, it's a great group of guys. They just won, I think, like their 12th national championship in 14 years or something like that. They're incredible. We do a lot of work with baseball now. We're going to have a bunch more events coming up with them. They went on a great run as well. I think it's their first time since 2001, 2002. They went to the Big Ten tournament semifinals in back-to-back years. Lacrosse made a really deep run this year as well. In women's volleyball, back to the mountaintop, win another national championship. And Coach Katie's pretty incredible story. So all while battling cancer and beating it. So I think it's all I love working with all the sports. They're all great, great guys and girls. Can't say enough good things about them. I they're all great. So
yeah, I think people don't realize, and one of my colleagues, Chris Buchanani, said we should be aware. This is kind of like the golden age of Penn State sports right now. If you look around, obviously football's been doing very well, made it to the semifinals last year, but there's multiple great stories, and the sports are doing fantastic. A lot of great events. You know what? Especially if you're in the state college area, hit some of the other sports. I'll just make a quick mention now. I know the season's over, but a year ago, I went to my first women's softball game at Penn State. What a great stadium. And college softball is an exciting sport. It's fantastic. So
yeah, definitely.
It really is.
And there's a lot of those sports, like you mentioned, wrestling, volleyball. We could go on and on. Go ahead.
Jim, to add to that, I think, you know, we're in a position, we're a little different than some of the other blue bloods, right? Because of that, because we're pretty well balanced throughout all the 31 sports that we have. You know, we have really good sports, and that's why it's even more important that we get the support from our community and they support the collective, because we have all these good sports and we want to continue to bring in a good product. So it's really important that the fans understand that they play a big part when they do support the collective, because it's going straight back to all of these athletes that we're talking about that are, you know, making us proud being a Penn State fan.
And the other part of this, at the risk of sounding like a homer, I'm a big advocate of Coach Franklin. I think he does things right. I think he worries about the players beyond football, and I think it creates the proper atmosphere. But as I've met some of the other coaches for the other sports, whether it's Coach Rhodes, the coaches for the women's teams, everyone I've met, they seem to have that same Penn State pedigree, that same thought process. And the simplest way to explain it is the old success with honor phrase. you see that throughout the athletic department, and it's great to see. All right, let's get into a couple more specifics. Mike, a week ago we were talking about all of the committed players coming into town. There was that weekend. This past weekend, it's early. It's only Monday, so we probably don't have all the reports in. But it was a great list, and there's a couple players I did want to throw some names at you. Interesting names were scheduled to be in this past weekend. One of them, let's throw a couple at you. One of them is Luke Wafel, 6'5", 245-pound edge, 4-star, out of New Jersey. What's interesting about him is his brother just transferred over to Penn State, right?
Yeah, that's right. He's been in the program. He started with the winter program. That's when I first got a look at him. And he's a brute, really. I mean, he's a physically impressive looking guy, long, twitchy. And, you know, those winter workouts are tough, right? So he really, you can tell he's a grinder, does not afraid of hard work. But then his brother, obviously, came in this past weekend. Great. It's obviously it's a little easier just because we have that connection with Owen, right? I think when you see his brother, you're going to see he's big. He looks different. He's a different body type than his brother, Owen. I think he was at a practice this spring, and there was a picture of him. And then Jamie actually sent a text in our group text. He's like, holy crap. He's huge. He's a freakish looking guy. Hopefully he ends up making the right decision to come to Penn State.
I like that. Make the right decision. A couple other players. I always find this interesting, Mike, when we have conversations, it seems similar when we talk about a Virginia player. It's a guy that you probably had some contact with them from your Virginia Tech years. But Travis Johnson, wide receiver, you and I have talked about the length of some of these players, 6'3". What do you know about Travis Johnson?
Yeah, so Travis Johnson, interesting. His father was a senior at a senior tight end at West Virginia my freshman year. So it's crazy. It makes me feel old. When I was at Virginia Tech, we started recruiting him and his mom and his grandma came, and his mom also went to West Virginia, Tiffany, and my wife, Tiffany, as well went to West Virginia. So it was pretty cool to connect with them. But he's a 4-star wide receiver. Like you said, long, talented, hopefully coming from Oscar Smith in the Tidewater area, obviously a dominant school, knows how to win. So he's going to be able to come in here and get acclimated quickly when you come from a school like that. But talented kid, but not just him. There's a bunch of talented guys coming. I think we have 15 guys set to visit this week. A couple other guys from Virginia, D.C., New Jersey, PA, a lot of guys in our footprint. But it's going to be a good week, you know, coming off the previous week where we had 21 visitors, and that was basically a reunion just because you had all the commits here with 4 uncommitted guys. So that was a good week. And I know we talked about that in the past, how it's just awesome to get all those families together and talk why they picked Penn State. They're all a little bit different. But this previous week with these 15 guys that came in, hopefully we're going to get some good news here in the next couple of days, if not by the end of the month.
We love to hear that, Mike. You mentioned a couple guys from D.C. And you talk about this, some of the players that come in from these major programs. And Gonzaga, you have 2 4-star defensive ends from Gonzaga. Well, first of all, I just want to mention, I don't want to be a quarterback on the opposing team playing Gonzaga when they have 2 4-star defensive ends, Mike.
Yeah, no doubt. Gonzaga, they're always going to have players. It's a dominant school. Ever since that, I've been in recruiting or whatnot, I've always had to deal with Gonzaga because they're always going to be really good. The coach there, he's been there forever, does a really good job with the recruitment. He does it, and what's really respectful about that school, too, is they do it the right way. So if a kid is going to commit, he's going to stick to his commitment because they do it the right way. You know, some other schools will get commitments out of the school, and that high school coach still shops them around. Coach there doesn't do that. So it's really good. And I was fortunate enough, one of the spring practices, Harley was here, and he's the type of guy, when you see him, you do a double take and you're like, holy crap, who is that kid? He looks like an avatar, very long. And I'm surprised he's not like a five-star. I mean, he just looks, he looks freaky. But also Carter Meadows is no slight, himself. So, really excited to have those two guys in. You know, Coach Dion Barnes, has done a phenomenal job, building up that room, and it's just only going to get better, with him and, the recruitment in that room.
And that's what's exciting is I think this coach's room, it's probably the best set of coaches that James Franklin has had in his time here at Penn State, Mike.
Yeah, I think so. I think the time when I was here, you know, it was really impressive. I always look back at it and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe we were with all those coaches. And yeah, it's kind of feels like that, if not better. You know, when I was here, we had Ricky Ronnie, who's head coach, Charles Huff, who's the head coach, Terry Smith was here, Tim Banks, who's the DC at Tennessee, Joe Moorhead, who's the head coach at Akron, who took me to Mississippi State. Sean Spencer is the highest paid defensive line coach in the country at A&M now. Just like it was a really super talented squad and really good people, and they've recruited their ass off. And I get that same feeling from this staff too in the short time that I've been with them. All really good people, great recruiters, all aligned. So yeah, we're really lucky and fortunate to have this staff. So if you're a Penn State fan, feel great about the staff that you have coaching up these kids and developing.
Well, what I like about it is there seems to be that balance of the old grizzled veteran, you know, like a Jim Knowles as a coordinator. And then you have a position coach like Dion Barnes, who first of all has the Penn State pedigree. And James Franklin talked about this when he hired him. It wasn't like, okay, he's just going to be given the job. He has to go through that whole process. And it feels like James Franklin's done a heck of a job in hiring position coaches.
Yeah, I think it's one of his best traits that he has. He's able to evaluate, recognize talent on staff, whether it's coaching or it's a support staff role. And the great thing that he does too is if you do a good job and you go off and do something else, he's going to keep in touch with you. So in case an opportunity does pop up, he's going to give you a call. And, you know, I was lucky to, you know, firsthand experience that this last fall coming into this position. But he does an incredible job cultivating a good culture of developing. So these coaches, he challenges them to a point where they needed to develop as a coach as well. I'll never forget the first time I was here, I was with Joe Brady and a couple other GAs, and he made it a point that those guys had an interview in front of Coach Franklin to develop them. You know what I mean? And now Joe Brady's Joe Brady, right? And, you know, Andrew Jackson, you know, it's been off and now he's back here and there's some other guys that have gone off. But yeah, it's one of his best traits that he's able to do. And that's why we're in the position that we are, because the way that he's able to recruit.
Fantastic. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jamie. The time went way too fast, but we are all done with this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Make sure you join us next time.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.